Call us now at 877-KPFK-AUTO.
Oh no, my car broke down. That's so terrible. That's quite unfortunate. My stupid car doesn't work anymore.
Join listener-supported KPFK. Call now, 818-985-5735.
90.7 KPFK, Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK-FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-host in the world, automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, current president of Hispanic Motor Press, Ricardo Rodriguez. Long welcome, Ricardo.
Well, thanks you for having me over. It's always a pleasure, and there is so much to talk about this crazy world on wheels.
Yeah, we are going to have to do this. Ricardo and I are going to have to do this without Michelle. She is not around this week. We are going to spend the week begging her to come back, just as we did Ricardo, and he is back, so it'll work with Michelle too. So we look forward to seeing her again next week. Before we dive into the calendar items for this week, I beg you, car show organizers, on your flyers and in your emails promoting your events, please state clearly what, when, and where your event is. You would be amazed. I would say the majority of these flyers and other sources of information about car events that we put here in the car calendar does not include all three of those. In fact, some don't include any of them. They concentrate on fancy paintings of hot rods or whatever, spinning graphics, whatever they can, but they don't put the basic information on that. So please, if you're organizing a car show and you want people to attend, say when, what, when, and where. Thank you very much. Also, before you head out to an event that we mentioned here on the car show, check the weather and also try and track down, like look at the website of the event just to make sure that it hasn't been canceled or anything. I don't think that has happened to anything we recommended lately, but it has happened. You can also check out SoCalCarCulture.com/events, and that guy's got a ton of calendar items. The first calendar item for tonight happens in Glendale. In Glendale, it's right tonight, Saturday, July 20th, from 5:30 to 10:30. It is the Glendale Cruise Night on Glendale Boulevard. It's free and will include over 350 classic cars and modified imports, live entertainment, several tribute bands there, and a fireworks show. I think last week I said it was in the morning. It is in the evening, folks. It is tonight on Glendale Boulevard. It sounds like fun.
That brings me memories. I lived in Glendale for a long time, and I remember in the 70s and early 80s going through Grand, and when we had all the theaters, and then the city has gone through a huge transformation. I mean, once they built the Glendale Galleria, and they keep expanding that, it's totally different. But I still have these memories of all the theaters. And we used to go with the motorcycles and sort of cruise that.
Oh, so, nice.
I'm sure it's going to be fun tonight.
It should be good. I can't remember what all of the bands were. I think there was a Springsteen tribute band. It's stuff you will probably like, I would imagine. The majority of radio listeners will like that. Glendale Cruise Night tonight on Glendale Boulevard, starting at 5:30, running until 10:30. Bring the whole family.
And if you want some more action in terms of horsepower, well, you can go tonight to Irwindale Speedway.
That's right. They're calling it Unglued No Prep Drag Racing. I tried to find out what exactly that means. Who cares? It's drag racing. It's on the 8th Mile Drag Strip. It's an NHRA drag strip right there at the Irwindale Speedway in the far corner of the parking lot. It's from 4 to 10 tonight, and that's guaranteed to be a lot of fun too.
And I think what they mean by unglue, no prep. It's remember a lot of professional hot rodders.
They're talking about the surface of the.
That's right. They put this fluid on the tires, so it gets very sticky, kind of a gluey feeling, right? So you get more traction. Okay. And so by unglue, non-prep means, hey, bring your car, you know, press your right foot to the bottom and go.
Yeah, so it rewards driver skill, clutch engagement, throttle application. It rewards that, maybe even steering. I still don't know. I've never gone down that drag strip. But if you're in the right lane, you have to make a sudden dive to the left after you go through the speed traps at the end, because otherwise you will crash right into the wall that goes around the half mile oval at Irwindale. I don't know how that was ever okayed. Who said that was a good idea?
Mark, I've run there. It's not that complex. No, I think you got plenty of room as long as you have brakes, you know, but you have room. Yeah, but you have room. But if it is a dragster, then you might have to come to a complete stop and able to make that turn, because you might not have enough steering to make that sharp U-turn.
Especially unglued, no prep. There's nothing sticking you on there. Yeah, so that'll be fun. Always a good time. And, you know, at night, everything cools down. You're not, you know, it's not in the blazing heat of the middle of the day as we are suffering here in SoCal.
Very important. I just, you know, because I remember, if you are planning on going tonight, make sure you have a catch tank on your radiator. If you don't have a catch tank on your radiator hose, if you are running an older car, then they might not let you run. So you can bypass it with some plastic bottle. A water bottle will work. But just giving you a tip ahead of time, make sure if you have an older car, make sure you have a catch tank for your radiator.
That's obviously so they don't get... not oil downs, but coolant downs on the strip, and it takes a lot of time and they have to clean it up. Is that?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Okay, good. Unglued, no prep drag racing tonight at Irwindale. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. Okay. Another event happening tomorrow. So you go drag racing tonight, or you go to Glendale tonight. Tomorrow, you want to go to Rick Lorenzen's Celebration of Life. Now, Rick is the guy who gave us the Lions Automobile Foundation and Museum. He passed away a few weeks ago. We talked about him then. His Celebration of Life is tomorrow, Sunday, July 21st at 1 p.m. Family, friends, and colleagues all are invited to celebrate the inspirational life of Rick Lorenzen. And that's dress as business casual. I think at events like that, you can wear Hawaiian shirts. I think that's probably preferred even. Sunday, July 21st, that's tomorrow from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Lions Automobile Foundation, 2790 East Del Amo Boulevard, Rancho Dominguez, California. Parking entrance is on Santa Fe. And if you ever knew Rick, he was supposed to have been, I did not have a chance to meet him, sadly. He was supposed to have been a great guy, a lot of enthusiasm. He grew up in Wilmington. His first car was a Willys, which he bought for $65. He was a regular at Lions Drag Strip, and he just loved it so much that he basically recreated it at that Lions Automobile Foundation and Museum. And there is so much to see at that facility. It's not just they've recreated the starting line of a Lions Drag Strip. That's one of the things. They recreated a Foster's Freeze. If anybody grew up in Southern California, you remember Foster's Freeze. Mine was on Knob Hill in Redondo Beach. Great stuff. They recreated, I think, a speed shop and a few other things. It's a huge facility from what I've been told. I got to get down there. Dar Hawthorne, if you're listening, I'll get there. I promise. So
it's right off 710 Freeway, Del Amo exit, and it's just one block from the freeway. It's very easy to get to. Definitely, he was a Willys fan, so there's a nice collection of Willys automobiles that are all being hot-rodded, because that's what he really liked. If you've never been there, here's another opportunity to visit a private collection that it's all about drag racing in Southern California.
And you may probably will meet various drag racing luminaries there. You never know exactly who's going to show up. But there should be some well-known guys from back in the day. Southern California drag racing, we had drag strips all over the place here way back in the 60s and all the way into the 70s. And Now, of course, everything is either a strip mall or a tract home development, but not at the Lions Automobile Foundation. So go pay tribute to Rick Lorenzen there and see some of your heroes and relive your youth.
Before you go, though, if you get up early in the morning, you might head up for Downey Nissan. They're going to have a special event where you can be able to see the Pirelli GT4 America race. They have a, they call it a race watch party at the dealership. It starts at 7 a.m. because it's just, you know, they're running on the East Coast. But in addition to you being able to see the race on big monitors, there will be some people that have been involved with Nissan Motorsports for quite a long time. You also have Chris Willis, who was one of the drivers, I believe, that drove the famous Nissan GTP in the IMSA series. I remember in Carmel, Del Mar, I'm sorry, the Del Mar truck when they run in the 80s. Also, I believe Pete Ivanov, who is sort of the god of the Nissan Z, is going to be there. And I believe they will have some simulators. Anyway, a lot of things to make this race watch party an event to remember.
It sounds pretty cool. It's just a, it's a Nissan dealership, and they want to support the Nissans running in the Pirelli GT4 America race. And the race is Sunday. It's Sunday morning. So as Ricardo said, you have to get there early. From 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. is when this event runs. But it'd be kind of fun. It's something to do, you know. You maybe start out the day at Donut Derelicts at 5 a.m. and drive up the freeway to Downey Nissan right off of the 5 at Firestone Boulevard. And you can meet Dean Case, famous PR guy, who let us know about this. The actual address is 7321 Firestone Boulevard in Downey. And you go to DowneyNissan.com and just make sure that that's still going. It's a free event. You can't beat it. Can't beat it. Now we're back to Irwindale next Thursday for the regular. Now we've been plugging this semi-regularly. They have Thursday Night Thunder at Irwindale Speedway. More drag racing, right, Ricardo?
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. It's what they, I think it's called Run What You Brung, something like that. It's open for anyone that wants to go through their 1/8 mile drag strip. But what I like about it is that sometimes you see people that are testing their vehicles for their professional racing and so forth. So among all type of funds, you might be able to find a professional team that just to make a quick run to make sure that everything is okay for their event. And you get to talk to the mechanics to see how they do it without any public around. Always very, very interesting cars. I have to say drag racing is so popular in Southern California. That there is a lot of followers, a lot of enthusiasts that modify their cars. And I think it's just $20 to actually run your car. The gates open at 4 p.m. Irwindale Speedway. It's right off the 605 freeway. And I'm trying to think. I always confuse Aero Boulevard and the
gate. I think it's Live Oak.
Live Oak. That's right. It's Live
Oak. Live Oak is the one.
Live Oak if you're going north. It's Aero if you're going southbound.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen these guys run there, and there's lots of great muscle cars from the 60s and 70s. Mustangs and Camaros are all there. There's always somebody with an AMC Javelin. It's the cars you think about when you think about a local drag race, you know, going on. So Thursday Night Thunder at Irwindale, 4 p.m. Don't miss that. Then we go all the way up to July 27th. This is just this one. I don't know. It jumped out at me. I thought it would. I don't know if it'd be fun or not. Probably will be fun. If you didn't get enough Mustangs at Thursday Night Thunder, go to Extreme Stangs Midsummer Showdown. Now, they spell Stangs S-T-A-N-G-Z. Extreme Stangs Midsummer Showdown. All Mustangs, July 27th, 5 to 9 p.m. in Rancho Cucamonga. It is the address is 8678 Utica Avenue, Rancho Cucamonga. Raffle, food, music, trophies.
And that will be actually next Saturday, right? The 27th? That will be next Saturday.
You're better at math than me, so I'm going to go with that. whatever July 27th is, we'll do that. Yeah, I should have written down the day of the week. That would have been helpful.
It's next Saturday.
Yeah, so that should be fun. The one that is near and dear to my heart, and if you want to see the actual flame and heat that I own, the Lancia Appia, it will be, along with several other far nicer cars, at Macanissima 2, which is happening August 3rd. It celebrates Italian cars, motorcycles, and even bicycles. They've made a very special TZ poster car, as it was the very first submission for Macanissima 2. And it's an absolutely bonkers car. It fits right in with all the other really cool Italian cars. This is all cool Italian cars. It is put on, of course, by a number of volunteers, but the guy that we know is Mike Baum, and he is just sort of a collector of and a connoisseur of cool little Italian cars, much like you would see at the Best of France in Italy, which has already happened, it's come and gone. But if you like those kind of cars, go to Macanissima 2 and the location. Yeah.
Mark, I want to add, it's just not only cars, though. There will be motorcycles and bicycles.
That's correct.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
Yes, motorcycles and bicycles, all from Italy. So, yes. And one very expensive Lancia Appia will be there in seafoam green. The address for this is 570 West Avenue 26 in Los Angeles. That is the old Lowry's, if you remember that complex.
Yeah, yes, I do. I do. Yeah. I had dinner there because then later it was a restaurant.
Yes, I've eaten there too, or I did eat there. I don't think it's, I don't know if the restaurant's still there.
No.
It says it's now called LA River Center and Gardens. Historic spot ingrained in LA history. Built in the 20s, the Mission style complex and gardens was Lowry's California headquarters with restaurants, gift shops, and spice factory in the early days. It is now a state park, and Macanissima 2 will be held there, a big motor event, extravaganza, if you like Italian cars. And who doesn't like Italian cars? So we've got everything. We've got weird little Italian cars. We've got muscle Mustangs. We've got dragsters. We got everything here.
Well, right. That's the beauty of living in Southern California, and it is the center of car culture. I think that every weekend there is at least four events, you know, at least two on Saturdays, at least two on Sundays, with anything that has to do with engines and wheels. So we are very, in a way, we're privileged. This is the only thing, there's no other place in the world that you will have this amount of events, especially in summertime.
Yeah,
there's we got the weather, we got the roads. I just drove up on Highway 2 towards Wrightwood, and that was a fun drive.
How far does the road go? How far is it open?
Well, still close. Pass, yeah, you do about, I think it's 5 miles or so.
Okay.
It's close.
Okay. And on the other side, I have not verified this. I've not been up there myself, but they say that on the other side of Highway 2 from La Cañada, you can now continue past the Red Box Ranger Station, the Mount Wilson turnoff. You can continue on Highway 2 to get all the way to Newcombs and all the way up to, I think it's called Islip Saddle, where Highway 39 once connected with it. So that road is supposed to be open. Somebody go check it out and call us and let us know. And I'm also hearing all kinds of things and seeing evidence that the group that runs Good Vibrations Breakfast Club at Newcombs is getting closer and closer to reopening the restaurant up there.
Oh,
so
that would be great.
That would be great. They had a thing where you could sponsor a bar stool for $150. And by the time I saw it and tried to sponsor it, they were all sold out. So they are moving along, and I'm looking forward to when that opens. So Jay and Nicole are really doing a lot, and a lot of volunteers are in on it too. So looking forward to that. And of course, if you're looking for somewhere to go on a Friday morning, you have the Good Vibrations Breakfast Club. Just drive up Highway 2 all the way from La Cañada. Stay on it until you get to Newcombs, and you'll just see about, 50 Porsches there. The Porsche 911 seems to be the most popular car, the car of choice among everybody who goes up there. I go up if I have some interesting car and if I can justify being away out of the office for, you know, half of a day up there. It's always worth it. Nice people, good cars. Just be careful. As they say, respect the crest. Don't drive like an idiot. Stay on your side of the road. Don't cross the double yellow. And be very careful. Be aware of people who might be crossing the double yellow coming at you. Use the turnouts. Get out of the way if somebody's coming up fast. Don't try and make a point. Just get out of the way as soon as you can. That's what I do. Somebody comes up behind me faster, I get the heck out of the way because I do not want to be there when the parts spray all over the road. So,
okay. Well, Mark, no, talking about speed and going fast, you just had an opportunity to be a very special place where people wanted to go very fast on all vehicles.
That's right.
All and kinds of vehicles.
That is an excellent segue into our report about Goodwood. I was at Goodwood this year. I've been a few times. They have three main events at Goodwood: the Festival of Speed, the Members Meet, and the Revival. The Revival is where everybody dresses up and the cars race on the old road course up there that circles around the airfield. That is later in the year. The event that just happened here is called the Festival of Speed, and they say that it goes up former Lord March. Now he is the Duke of Richmond. It goes up his driveway, they say, 1.2 miles long, all kinds of amazing cars. There were six Formula One teams there. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Six of them. And they all had cars running up there. Red Bull seemed to be in abundance. They were celebrating 20 years of Red Bull. Max Verstappen was there and several other drivers, Mark Webber among them. Sebastian Vettel did not show up. He was on vacation with his family. And I can imagine the discussion that went on in the Vettel family there. You are not going to that thing. You are going on vacation. So good luck to him out there. But everybody who did show up, they had six different Formula One teams. Williams was there with Kiki Rosberg's FWO8. That was the one with Saudi, a sponsorship on the right. I just love the way that car looks. It's we talk about cab forward sometimes in car design, and that era, everybody sat really far forward. It was probably not safe. And they have since changed the design of Formula One cars in many, many ways. One of them was to bring the drivers farther back. But that car looked really cool. Now, Ricardo, you saw or are aware of a couple of crashes at Goodwood. I did not see
either one of those. Yes, unfortunately, it is, as you said, it's a service road. This is not a racetrack. but it's quite a unique event because it's especially in Europe. That Festival of Speed is where a lot of people showcase their vehicles, manufacturers, special builders, and so forth. And just to incite people, there's drift, there's formula cars, rally cars, new cars. And something that they were introducing at Speed, at this festival that supposedly was going to go to Speed, is a new Lotus, and
I think we agreed it was Evija. That's how you say it, but who knows?
All I know is the new Lotus, it costs $2.3 million for the base model, and it puts 2,000 horsepower coming from electric motors. Unfortunately, I guess the driver could not contain the 2,000 horsepower and end up crashing pretty bad. So that's something that
he was not hurt, I assume.
No, he was not hurt, but the car, yes, it did have quite a lot of damage. And it's kind of a shame because you see a car that is just being presented, and it was just sort of a reminder that horsepower needs talent behind the wheel, and it can really get out of control really, really quick.
Do you happen to know, did the car loop around? Did it spin out and hit the
barriers? It did start to spin, and then, you know, when the car catches, it just ricochet against the side barriers.
Okay. So that was unfortunate. That's what they have on the side there. They have just huge bales of hay, which you think, oh, it's kind of quaint. It's how they did it in the old days. But as a spectator, you can't see anything unless you pay big bucks to sit up in one of the grandstands. And then you're farther away from it. It's just there has to be a solution so that you can actually see something if you go there. You see all these beautiful pictures. You see it on TV. You could have watched it live at goodwood.com. And keep that in mind for, you know, the revival and the members meet. Go to goodwood.com to watch it. I wish I had realized that we could have told people about it before Goodwood. But yeah, I couldn't see anything.
Well, then you also miss an American personality, Travis Pastrana, famous from the motocross.
Doing everything.
Yeah, you know, definitely an American daredevil, right?
He is a cool cat for sure.
But unfortunately, this time at Goodwood, he did end up against the barriers himself, driving a Subaru. So that was another casualty of these events.
I was really surprised he did that because, number one, he's very familiar with that car. Maybe it was raining. It could have been in the rain. It did not happen when I was there looking at it. So it rained, I think, Friday and Saturday for a while. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that it was raining. How about that?
We will. So there were all type of vehicles, and that included also motorcycles. There were some racing motorcycles, some vintage new bikes. Again, it's a very special event that if you have the opportunity one day to attend, you will not regret it. And while you're there, you can probably go to the museum that is in the property.
Yeah, I did not go to the museum. I missed that.
You know, it's a very nice place.
They have an off-road course there because SUVs are such a big deal in the world now. So they have as part of it, they have an off-road course. They had this year they had Richard Petty joined. Richard and Kyle Petty were present, and they were celebrating the Petty family's 75 years of involvement in motorsports. I guess because Richard's dad, was it Lee Petty, started out the family legacy.
And, yeah, three generation. They were NASCAR champions. That's not, you know, it doesn't happen that often.
No. And they also celebrated the Isle of Man TT, as you said, Ricardo, with motorcycles there. Michael Dunlop, who has, I believe he's the guy with the most victories at the Isle of Man TT. He was there. He was feted along with a couple of other Isle of Man racers. Those guys are absolutely crazy. I only went to the Isle of Man once during the TT, and I was actually relieved that it was rained out the day that I was there because I did not want to see any carnage. I don't go to racing to see that. And I think it's just, they are just on the absolute ragged edge for the whole time they're going around. That's a big track. It goes up a mountain, down.
It's not a track, Mark.
It's a road, right?
Just running on the road, going through the villages at full speed with all types of elevation changes on the asphalt. And there's asphalt cement of different surfaces. You go into the country. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm my hat is off to all these brave men that run this circuit. It is amazing.
It goes through these little villages and past stone farmhouses. And what they do, at least they did the year I was there, they stack mattresses against the stone walls and the stone buildings. So as if that's going to do any good. I don't know. But so there was a tribute to the Isle of Man TT there. And a lot of great motorcycles.
But there is certain mystique, and I think every motorcyclist that is into European or road racing will understand what the TT is. It's one of the longest events in the world. But to run a TT, you have to be brave, really, really brave. And even MotoGP riders, world champions, says, no, that is too dangerous for me.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, you look back at racing in the 30s. You know, was just on roads and you went around stone walls and everything. This is an anachronism. I don't know. You could even make an argument that maybe its time came and went. I don't know. I guess there would be some outrage by people, but those people should have to try and
I have to say that I have to say that I like that this tradition is still alive because it's something different. Unfortunately, we know that not every year, but there are fatalities when you have a 200-mile-an-hour projectile slamming against the wall. Something is going to happen. But regardless, that's what the TT is. It's for only those brave men that are able to do it.
Yes. Anyway, there was also at Goodwood, there was a number of new cars being exhibited there. Several manufacturers. Now, I walking around, I counted 17 major car manufacturers there. Also, Norton Motorcycles is there. We're going to talk about Norton Motorcycles maybe next week when I get my story together on that. Norton is coming back, baby. They're coming back to the U.S. And
again,
looking forward to that. Again, this again? Time they mean it, though. This time they have backing from TVS, huge manufacturer. So they were there. But among the car companies that were there was MG. If you grew up in the 50s and 60s, you probably remember MG as the maker.
I raced an MG, an MGB for over 10 years. Yeah.
Which one?
An MGB.
Oh, MGB. Okay, yep. Good. Yeah. Four cylinder, two dual carbs. They're side draft carbs, I think, weren't they?
Well, the stock version had a single carburetor. It was a 1.8 liter. And then the first, the early 1960s had only three, the crankshaft had only three bearings holding it. The later generation went to up to five. But when you're preparing for racing, yes, you could modify the cylinder heads. Single draft, dual draft.
My dad's MGB had a, I think it was a 67. He had two carburetors on the side. And
yep, two side drafts.
Yeah, it was no fun working on that. MG was there, and they introduced a new car called the Cyber GTS Concept. Now, as you know, I think it, several years ago, MG was purchased by SAIC, the Chinese car maker. And so these cars are now made in China. But they look really cool. They don't look funky or weird. They're fun little sports cars. The GTS concept that they viewed was just cute as anything. It looked like a mini Aston Martin, I thought. It's a 2+2 electric hardtop coupe. It's a version. It's a coupe version of the previously revealed Cyberster Roadster. While the Roadster uses dual electric motors driving the rear wheels, I think this Cyberster GTS, which was only a concept now, so there's nothing for sure about specs on it, I think it'll have a single motor driving the rear wheels. That should be fun when that thing comes out, for sure.
And Mark, another car that was presented during that weekend, it's the new BMW M5.
Right. I saw him take the wraps off of that. It was funny. They rolled it out, and no less a luminary than the former Lord March, the current Duke of Richmond, stepped out and he said, "I've always been a huge M fan." You know, he's a great guy. If you ever talk to him, he just comes across as completely natural, and you enjoy your time talking to him. He says, "I've had a few M's myself. This one looks fantastic." So he said that, and then he scurried off. But yeah, so this is the M5 sedan. There are rumors, as yet officially unconfirmed, that there will be a touring version of the M5 that was not shown at Goodwood. But the one that was shown at Goodwood gets 717 SAE horsepower, 0 to 63.4 seconds, top speed of 190 miles per hour. It is already being criticized as being too heavy because it is a hybrid. So it has enough batteries on board to go, I think it was 27 miles on electricity alone, 14.8 kilowatt hours of battery. So the whole thing weighs 5,400 pounds, which is a lot for an M5. But they couldn't have built it unless it was a hybrid, because they have to meet very exacting and increasingly stringent emissions requirements, is what they said. So,
Mark, isn't that engine the base, the same motor as they use in the endurance races? I believe is that a V8, correct?
It is indeed. It is a V8.
I believe it's based on the engine that is trying to beat Ferrari at Daytona and Le Mans, and it's running, and I believe it's in IMSA as well. It's a project that started last year, and I recall saying this will be our future. So when they launched this vehicle with that engine, okay, I can see it all sort of starting to mesh together.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know when they say things like that. It's straight from the racetrack to the showroom. We don't know exactly how much carried over, but one thing that did not carry over at all was a There's a, anybody who follows drifting, you see that here in Southern California. There's a regular drifting round of Formula Drift at Irwindale. We're back to Irwindale, where it's like we're obsessed with that place. But there's a drifter from New Zealand named Mad Mike Whiddett, if I'm saying his name right. He took a McLaren P1 and turned it into a drift car. He took out the V8 engine from, or what's the, it's a V8 in the P1, right? He took out whatever the stock engine was, and he put in three rotors, because he puts rotary engines into everything that he has ever made.
And I'm sure McLaren was not too happy.
You know, it does not show up in the McLaren press release that I saw. The one that I saw did not have any mention of this, but it turns out that the tub, the carbon fiber tub for the P1 is the same as the 650S. So, you know, P1 might be a bit of an, I don't know. It might not have been a straight up P1. It might have been a 650S that they started with. But Lanzante is the name of the company that assisted in building the bodywork on it. It looks, it's quite fetching, I believe. It's really an attractive looking car. And I didn't see it when I was there, because, you know, I couldn't see anything because of the hay bales. But if you Google that or go now, to AutoWeek.com,
you mentioned this vehicle. I did see in Europe someone running a Lamborghini as a drift car. And I thought, you know, that would be pretty cool. If we see these Ferrari, Lamborghinis, all these exotics, right, doing drifting, that would be something very, very interesting. I think it
there's a guy.
People will be going wild.
There's a guy in Formula Drift. I believe he's still doing it. He's driving a Ferrari 599 GTB and drifting that. So imagine, you know, you touch the wall and that, it's really, really expensive. So anyway, that was one. We've got, we've got a whole bunch of other ones that debuted at. We'll get to yours in just a second, Ricardo, because we still have a few
I just wanted
here.
To mention before I forget that it's not related to Festivals of Speed, is not related to car events, but it's something that is happening. And I thought we need to be aware, because unfortunately a new report came up and it's over $1 billion in sales have been lost to do cyber attack to dealerships.
That was a big deal. That was a few weeks ago,
and
right?
That could be very impactful, because these cyber attacks can take all your credit information, you know, if your credit cards, banking information. So it can really spiral into a big, big mess. And we don't talk much about these cyber attacks, but actually I'm going to look for it, because someone gave me a few weeks ago a manual on how to cyber attack your car, meaning, you know, like instructions on how to hack another car through getting into the Wi-Fi systems, getting into the key fob, and getting into the electronics of the vehicle, where you can actually open the doors and get the car running. So we're into a whole new phase of this. Manufacturers are working very, very hard to start thinking about, hey, how we combat this, how we can stop it. But it's a new sort of the 21st century crime, right? Where we talk about people stealing your credit. Well, actually, now they're going to be able to steal your car if you're not careful.
Yeah, nobody uses a gun and wears a mask now. It's all done at the keyboard.
And especially since there's a lot of cars, we have to remind, a lot of new cars, they have downloadable updates, meaning your car will be updated through
OTA.
Right?
Over the air, yeah.
Over the air, so... And that's where these hiccups could be, that someone can get into your car. But technology, there's pluses and minuses as we move forward with technology.
Yeah, that's one advantage to owning a Lancia Appia, is it nobody can hack into it. But of course, nobody would want to. So, one last car that was debuted there at Goodwood, Ford Mustang GTD, where it stands for Gran Turismo Daytona, which is a classification in IMSA racing. This is a Mustang that just seems downright otherworldly. Now, I don't know how much of the body was carbon fiber. They said some of the body was carbon fiber. It has a target horsepower of 800 horsepower, target top speed 190 plus miles per hour. Now, here's the clincher. It has a target Nürburgring lap of under 7 minutes. Now, if you consider the cars that have gone under 7 minutes around the Nürburgring, it is a very, very limited number of cars. There's the Mercedes AMG One. Remember that? I think everybody forgot completely about that. It's supposed to be like a Formula One car for the street. The Porsche 918 Spyder, Porsche 911 GT2 RS, Mercedes AMG GT Black Series, a couple of Lamborghinis, the Ferrari 296 GTB. These are the cars that have gone under 7 minutes around.
And one more.
Yes.
With 6 minutes, 24 seconds, the Lotus Evija.
Did they actually do that, or is that theoretical?
Yes, before they crashed it. Yes.
Before they crashed it. So, wow, 6:24.
Dang. 6:24.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, but electric cars can be ridiculously quick. So anyway, so that is the competitors for this Ford Mustang GTD. They say it's street legal. The GTD is street legal, but just barely, Ford likes to say, ha ha ha. And it's powered by a V8, as a Mustang should be. This one specifically is a 5.2-liter supercharged V8, and I believe it's a version of the Coyote, or it's based on the Coyote V8. But it's set up so it's quite interesting. So you have the V8 in the front, then you have a carbon fiber prop shaft going to a rear transaxle with an 8-speed dual clutch transmission. Imagine how having to build something to those tolerances. It's just amazing. Ford says it's got a perfect 50-50 weight balance. They took it, they introduced it at Goodwood. They ran it up the hill twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday. The sticker price that I have seen for it, $325,000.
Well, but it is a car that is going to be homologated, so it can run on, I think it's one of the IMSA series. It will fall, I think it's either into the GT4 or GT3 category, I believe. So it's basically what you're buying is you're buying a race car. It's something that Porsche has done many, many years, right? I mean, you can go to Porsche and say, I want to run a GT3, I want to run a GT4, and pretty much they will give you the car that is exactly the same as the one you can buy at the street, but it has all the racing component. And because these cars are available for anyone to buy them, then it's not really like a factory effort. And that's where the privateers in the world of motorsports can have a chance really to beat some of the manufacturers. So I commend Ford for doing this. Definitely are pushing the Mustang to become the iconic American car in the world of sports cars. The Mustang, it's during the last 10 years, it's the number one in sales within that segment of sports cars. And as you mentioned, I had the opportunity to drive the seventh generation, which is GTD Mustang you're talking about. Is
based. Yeah, you drove a lot of Mustangs fairly recently. So
yes, and I, as I said, I'm very hopeful because Ford understands what the Ford Mustang means for the company. They have millions of very loyal fans around the world, and I just cannot imagine, you know, a world of cars without a Mustang. This seventh generation was introduced as a 2024 model, and as you mentioned, I had the opportunity to drive actually pretty much all the different models, which are, you have a base model that we all know, it's the Mustang that is the most sold, and I think it's my favorite.
What engine is in that base model?
Well, I'm going to get that.
Okay.
We have the base model, we have the GT, we have the convertible, and now we also have the dark horse, right? All these four cars share the body, the interior. The difference are on the mechanicals. The base model comes with the 2.3-liter EcoBoost 4 engine that is turbocharged, and it puts out 315 horsepower. I tell you that I had a hard time thinking about this car because it's great handling. I think in when you drive it at speed, I think it's almost better handling the one with the V8 because, of course, it's lighter and you can you know, you get you got to maintain the momentum. So it feels different when you drive it at speed. But when you get into a GT that has a V8, that 5-liter V8 based on the new Coyote 5-liter 32 valve, because it's a double overhead cam motor, all aluminum block, aluminum heads, has a dual throttle bodies, and the rumble of that V8 really just puts a grin in your face. Definitely, it's when you match that with a 6-speed manual transmission, it's wonderful to drive. The base models, and also there is a GT. If you go with an automatic transmission, which is the base transmission, is a 10-speed transmission, which you can paddle shift through the gears. And I found that between first to fifth gear, it's tuned to be a very, very sporty. Once you pass the sixth gear, then now it helps this car to get much better fuel mileage. And I notice once you start playing with this car in the mountain, the mileage obviously drops. But once you get on the highway and you get that 10th gear, you're going 70 miles an hour and the engine is just idling.
Didn't you and I share a couple of Mustangs like a year ago going up Glendora Mountain Road?
I think it's possible. Yeah. That was the official introduction of the 2024. And that's right. When they had the convertible, and they did have some, they were talking all at that time. I think all of them were the Coyote engines, I believe, but I don't remember. It's been a while now. Something that, that also is significant in this Mustang is that is the first, I will say, a Mustang that has become digital. No questions. Ford understands the demographics, and they want to get younger people in. So now the seventh generation Mustang has a much larger display. It's almost like 2-in-1. You have an almost 13-inch screen towards the center, but just in front of you where it used to be, let's call it digital gauges. But you can tune all these. You can customize it. You can customize the colors. You feel like if you were in a sort of video game. A lot of the younger people, they're familiar with video games. You can choose your avatar. You can choose your colors. And then on this car, what you're choosing is how do you want the car to run? How do you want it to sound? How fast you want the shifting to go on? How much horsepower? So it makes it sort of you building the car to your own specs. And I think that will be a lot of fun. Something else that is very interesting on this car is that it comes with what they call the drift brake, an electronic drift brake that once you learn to handle that, you just can accelerate, pull the handbrake, and the car gets sideways. And now you can have a lot of fun.
Did you try that?
I did try, and I did not master it because you really need to get used to it because it's an electronic brake. So the feeling is sort of not there.
It's either on or off, as I recall. Right. I remember they let us try that in a parking lot when they introduced this car. And I could not master it either. They gave us like one chance.
I think I tried last week. I was driving one of these cars last week, and I tried it a couple of times. And I kind of, after a while, you start getting the hang of it, but you need a lot of practice. Because personally, I feel like there's no feeling as to when the brake pads are grabbing the rotors. Regardless, it's another fun factor. So I think this car is going to appeal to a lot of young people. And that's how we're going to see the Mustang going into the 8th, 9th, and who knows how many more generations. Pricing on this car, the base model starts around $32,000. When you get to the GT, it's around $55,000. Actually, the one that I drove was $55,000 with a V8, a 10-speed transmission, Brembo brakes, 19-inch special wheels with Pirelli, sports tires. I mean, a wonderful sound. You got all the modes. You got a drag mode if you wanted to go try to be a play that you're doing some drag racing. It has a track mode that you can set up, and the suspension changes, and your shifting points also change. So quite a lot of electronics, quite a lot of things that improve the performance on this Mustang GT. And then you got the Dark Horse. The Dark Horse is a 500 horsepower, sort of a beast of a car, but very well mannered. I think it takes over from, we have several versions of a Shelby. The last sports Mustang was the Shelby 350. So I think this is sort of like the next generation of that. I'm not sure why they changed the name to Dark Horse, but I think it makes sense.
Probably Shelby wanted too much money, I'm guessing. That is, I'm saying that based on nothing, but it's just my own speculation.
The biggest difference when we talk about the dark horse, the biggest difference is the transmission, because it comes with a 6-speed Tremec racing transmission and also has a torsion differential. So those two components are very specific to go fast and make it durable. So,
that sounds very robust, that drivetrain.
Yes, yes, yes. So I'm happy for that. The interior is very well done. Now they're using a lot of two-tone colors, micro suede, real leather. You have remote start. Overall, I'm very happy that Ford is making this Mustang. And now that we have no more Camaro.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Does this have any competitors? Because Camaro, the last one came off the assembly line in January of this year.
And so did the Charger.
Yeah, so the Charger's gone, Camaro's gone. It's just Mustang, which could be good for the muscle car niche. But yes, how big is that niche, and is it profitable? That's the question.
I mean, well, that's the thing. Mustang sells as long as you maintain that rumble, and that's why I think Ford is getting involved into racing so much, because being out there, it's going to be the car that is going to maintain that racing spirit within the Ford Motor Company. That's my take.
Remember, when was it? Boy, 10, 15 years ago, there was talk of a four-door Mustang, and that talk just sort of dissipated. Nothing ever came of it.
Thank you.
But we got the Mustang Mach-E.
Well, I don't know about that. I still have this feeling, personally, since I'm myself a classic Mustang owner,
right?
A Mach-E being Mustang. But I understand the marketing of it, trying to use the name. Now we have the Capri. The new Capri.
That's what I was going to say. They showed that. They introduced that at Goodwood, and I saw that. And anybody who remembers the Capri from the olden days, you know, you could get a V6, two-door, rear-drive, kind of a sporty car, and the Capri. And the new one is an electric crossover utility vehicle, and it says Capri on it. I don't know. Is that a sin, perhaps?
Yes, it is, because that, The four-cylinder Capri motor is the one that I'm using in my Formula Continental, the 2-liter four. So it's like, I know that was
dangerous.
But anyway.
Yeah, that ain't right. Somewhere somebody is spinning in their grave, you know. But what are they going to do? If they name it Capri, everybody knows the name Capri. If they had named it the Wombat or something, nobody would know, and it wouldn't go anywhere. And like when the Mustang Mach-E came out, they were able to get everybody talking about it. So everybody, along with their complaints, said Mach-E. And so maybe that was good for marketing. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Who's to say? But anyway.
Now, what did you drive, Mark?
Yeah. On the speaking of crossover utility vehicles, I drove a Honda Passport Trail Sport. That is the Trail Sport. Of course, Passport is this very well-established, well-loved, high-selling crossover utility vehicle from Honda. And Honda seems to do very well in just about everything they make. And this Passport is certainly one of those. But they added, I think, a year or two ago, this trim level called Trail Sport, which in theory means that you could go off-road. The problem, if you just take your typical generic garden variety crossover utility vehicle off the dealer lot, it's got M&S tires that are not made to absorb sharp, pointy rocks. The sidewalls are maybe not as strong. The treads aren't as strong. You could get a flat tire. It doesn't have as much ground clearance. So you really don't want to take your typical off-road or your crossover utility vehicle off-road. So Honda sort of upped this model, the Trail Sport model. And the main thing that they did was, instead of the 20-inch wheels that are on the other two trim levels, they went with 18-inch wheels. And you think, well, that's, you know, that's not as performancey. But off-road, you want more sidewall so the tire can absorb, you know, rocks and bumps and things like that. So you get 18-inch wheels wrapped with 245/60 R18 tires. Yes, Ricardo.
No, and also we have to keep in mind, when we're talking about off-road, you, just like you said, you need more shoulder, but that 18-inch wheel, it gives you the options that there's almost every manufacturer makes one off-road tire that is 18-inch wheels. And at the end of the day, you have a bigger diameter. So it actually elevates your car at least about an inch or two from using those off-road tires.
Well, I looked at the spec sheet from Honda, and the ride height does not change. The ride height is 8.1 inches across the board on Passports. That was my reading of the spec sheet. So I was expecting there to be a little bit higher ride height, but I think they might have problems with having to recertify that had they done that. Now, this one, the Trail Sport, it gets all-wheel drive as standard, and you also get, it's kind of an interesting system that I first saw on some Acuras like years and years ago, is called, on this one, it's called Honda's Intelligent Variable Torque Management All-Wheel Drive System. And what they do with that is the rear half shafts have these clutch packs on them that distribute torque to the individual rear wheel that needs it the most. They're electro-hydraulically actuated clutch packs. So the one of those drives each of the rear wheels, allows for varying amounts of torque to be directed to each rear wheel independently. Now, what they're saying is that the result is a more precise response to loss of traction and enhanced stability when you need it most. Competitors might not have that. Competitors might just have an open differential in the back, which allows, it doesn't really help you out if one wheel gets less traction or, God forbid, is up in the air, which happens sometimes when you're four-wheeling, then that wheel will just spin uselessly up in the air. But with this clutch pack system on this Honda, you can actually get more grip. So I will say that I enjoyed this car. There were a couple of shortcomings. It starts at $44,500, my take on it from reading their website. And so we're almost out of time talking about that car. A couple more quick thoughts on that. A couple things I didn't like. I did not like the audio interface, and I'm not a fan of those weird shifter buttons. So that is that on that. But overall, I love this car. I would love to have this. I love the feel of the steering wheel, the seats, everything. So just a few shortcomings, but now, it's Mark, an excellent choice.
Mark, that's a three-seater, right? Or is it still a two-seater?
You're talking about three rows?
Yes.
It is two rows.
Two rows. Okay.
So five seats, two rows. The rear seats fold flat, which my Bentley Bentayga did not do last year. So it's better than a Bentley Bentayga. How about that? How's that for an ad?
I like that.
So anyway, that was the Honda, folks. And we are telling you that we will be back next week. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black with Bill Gardner. Great music that you didn't know you loved. 2 hours of it. And stick around for next week. Come back, please. And we will see you then on The Car Show.
KPFK, your progressive media outlet, is listener-supported commercial-free radio. But did you know you don't have to wait for the station fund drives to support your favorite radio station? You can donate online at any time. Visit kpfk.org. That's kpfk.org. And we thank you for your support.
Support comes from Grand Performances in downtown Los Angeles, presenting a big night of highlife and Afrobeat. Okwi Osadebe, son of highlife king, Chief Steven Osita Osadebe, will be performing live with his band, Highlife Soundmakers International, on Saturday, July 27th at 7 p.m. in downtown L.A. That's Saturday, July 27th at 7 p.m. at Grand Performances, located at 2 California Plaza, 350 South Grand Avenue, Los Angeles, in downtown LA. For more information, visit grandperformances.org and kpfk.org.